Today's title is Kingdom Kids. Would you turn to Psalm 127? Psalm 127. And we've been looking at the kingdom. We've been looking at where it starts and how it goes, spreading the kingdom. But now we're going to get to nuts and bolts of how to live kingdom life, how to go about this. In the next several weeks, we're going to learn about a rudiment of who we are in Jesus Christ. And really, the glory of what God has bestowed upon us. We tend to think that where we are is all that there is in God. And I assure you that it's not. You cannot exhaust God. You cannot reach the end of God. You can't reach the heights of God. You can't even reach the widths of God. But you will spend an eternity in understanding who God is. Amen? Psalm 127, starting in verse 3, we will read to verse 5, and it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Like arrows in His hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who his quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate." I'm here to tell you that it is God's desire to have many children. Many, many children. And He is desirous to have His quiver filled with His children. But there is a radicalness about our Christianity that is lacking in America today that is really upsetting to me. And that is understanding who we are in God. For too often we minimize the connection of hearing the gospel and living the gospel. All of us hear the gospel, but very few live the gospel. And it is God's desire for His children to grow up. And the only way we can grow up is through the application of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, as Isaiah tells us. What does it look like for a kingdom kid? Have you ever asked yourself that? What do I look like as a kingdom kid? Do I look more like Jesus or am I still like myself? You see, it's one thing to be a kingdom kid and say that I am. It's quite another to be a kingdom kid and be living it. And so what we have to understand is that in God's hands, He wants to use us as a weapon. And what usually goes into a quiver? Anybody know? Arrows, right. And these arrows, when the archer takes it back, he shoots his arrow, and he's always trying to hit a target, right? Well, we have to understand, in the hands of the Lord, we are His arrows. And what He wants to do is, when He pulls Holly out of His quiver and shoots her, He wants to use her either through the message of the gospel of love, peace, grace, or mercy. And only He determines how we're going to do that. You see, when He pulls Holly out and draws her back and shoots her, it's usually in the most violent situation that He wants to send this arrow through. And what happens is when He sends us into those situations, and it's funny because I'm going to share how terrible a Christian I am from my experience from yesterday, how we fail. And because we fail, it only shows us how immature we are as a believer. Amen? And so what we must understand is that there is no choice in our lives other than to live for God, to die to what we want. And what God does in our lives is put us in situations in which to correct our attitude, to correct our behavior, in order to bring Christ-likeness from us. Everything else is extraneous and unimportant. His job as to what he wants to do is to create Jesus Christ here in us to draw all men to himself. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ in a nutshell. We have to believe that God is in control. And the problem is that if we are not exhibiting the very image of Jesus Christ, in Ephesians 4:15 it says, we all come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be formed into his image. Some translations say, until we come to that maturity in Jesus Christ. Whatever translation, the bottom line is this. We've got to grow up. To remain where we are is not an option. It's just not. You're either proceeding in the kingdom or you are retreating from the kingdom. Neither one is where we want to be as far as standing still. Jesus said to us, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And as I said before, you know, it's very, very difficult for us to admit when we're wrong. It's even more difficult to admit that we have initiated that wrong. Because our human nature says it's everybody else's fault but mine. My sin and your sin, if you really want to hear and listen to what the Spirit is saying, is unbelief. You don't believe and I don't believe that God is in control and that we need to help Him out in things. And when we help Him, we become frustrated. Because it just doesn't seem like our help is getting anything done. We become more and more frustrated. And in our frustration, we behave like children. Case in point. This whole week, I was on vacation last week working on a house. And the guy that I hired to help me with the sheetrock, I was supposed to finish Saturday. But he's been MIA again. And of course, that frustrates me because when a person tells me they're going to do something and then they don't, I highly become agitated because when I tell someone I'm going to do something, I do all I possibly can to fulfill what I've said I'm going to do. That is the way of the world. The world tells us one thing and does another, but it expects you and I to act just like them. And because of that frustration, and because of several things, I had to pick the kids up Monday, my son from the airport, and so needless to say, I didn't get any work done in there. Tuesday, I worked a little bit in the house. Wednesday, we had a graduation, which was great and awesome. Some you may know her, you know, Sharon Baker has graduated from high school. And I asked her, you know, what's her endeavors now? And it was, I'm going to bed. Okay, so she'll sleep the rest of her life away. And that's okay for her, but it's not okay for the kingdom. And then, of course, Thursday, we had worked in there again for a few more hours. And then Friday, I had to pick the Podosics up at the airport. And then, needless to say, that day was shot. So it was start and go, start and go, start and go. But there was a lot of stopping in between. Meantime, my attitude has become poisoned because I'm frustrated with this fellow who's told me one thing and done another. So Saturday morning comes along, and in my head, I don't want to be there. I do not want to be in my house. I don't want to be anywhere because, after all, mentally, I'm having my temper tantrum. Physically, I manifested that temper tantrum. And I am a terrible Christian because of it. And I realized how immature I am in Christ. And that is why I say to you guys, I am only a half a step ahead of you in this walk. God has taught me tremendous things, but the one thing that I have to rely on Him and cause to grow is to cancel out unbelief. I have to believe by faith that God is in control, and I should not have a negative attitude in that. But the demonstration of a juvenile in that house, when everything was falling apart and going wrong, the only calming effect there was when I sent Irene out of the house to go get lunch. And then I humbled myself before the Lord and admitted to Him how juvenile I am. Because I was blaming, sound familiar? Blaming others for my attitude. When the truth is, Rach, who's in control of the attitude? I am. And you are. We need to learn to take ownership and humble ourselves before God so that we can grow. We have to grow. And yeah, you know, as I was saying to some of the fellows yesterday, we had a Father's Day, belated Father's Day, cookout at my son's, and we sat there and talking. And I said to him, I said, you know, I'm feeling the pressure. I'm cracking. And my attitude is becoming poisoned. And because of that, I recognized I'm out of control. But when I'm out of control, I've at least learned that God is still in control, whether I'm in or not. Christ says to us, you must be converted. You must become childlike, not childish. And I was childish. Nobody there to help, Pastor. Nobody loves me. All these people, all this other stuff. And because that attitude was pervasive, towards the end of the day, I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing and sliced my hand up. Nobody's fault but mine. And of course, Irene dressed it up, made it look real nice for you guys to feel sorry for me. But I'm not asking for your sympathy. I want you to understand and learn from my stupidity that you are the ones that are in control. You are the ones that need to adjust your attitudes and realize that God is in control of every situation. God's kingdom is coming, and it is here in you. It's whether we want to release it or not. And the only way it's going to be released is to cast out unbelief. See, for us, we've made people to become born again so easy that we have failed to tell them the truth that there is work that has to be done. Just as a baby knows instinctively to go to the mother's breast to feed, we must know instinctively to get into the Word and drink the sincere milk of the Word in order to grow. But most of us, what we do is we open up the Bible on Sunday and we dust it off Saturday night so that it's nice and shiny for Sunday morning service. And we don't get involved with the Scriptures. We don't want to hear what God has to say. That is a failure of the church in America today, because what they are doing is what the church is doing is instinctively becoming ignorant of what God has said. And because of that, Satan is able to take advantage of God's people. You can't take advantage of someone who knows, who is mature. There's just no moving that person away. And Jesus exhibited that. No matter what Satan threw at Him, no matter what the Pharisees threw at Him, no matter what was going on, He said, I came to do the Father's will. And there was no deviating from it. But how many of us have heard God, we saw what was in the Scriptures, and we said, I don't think I want to do that. No, I don't think so. I want to be selfish. I want to do my desires. I want to do. And of course, you know, I call you. I'm in there too. We're opera singers. We are all opera singers. Because we have not matured to the point of saying, not my will, Father, but Yours. I have come to do Your will. As a church, we have learned a lot. But I think the application that God wants for us today has to come into a place of understanding who you are and making application to become a strong Christian. Turn to Romans 8. Paul writes some really neat stuff, and if you've sat with me through discipleship, you know I talk about Romans 6, 7, and 8 as though it were crackers and peanut butter all the time. But I want us to look at something in here so that you can understand a little bit more about the kingdom. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17 says, "For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits and that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified." To be a Christian, we must understand that there is going to come suffering. And I told a story yesterday about the three rings of marriage, of which I will not labor today about, but it's really pretty cool. My son's going to use it, and I think Gary's going to use it someday. And I may use it in somebody's wedding someday. But it's good stuff. Paul here tells us that, first of all, the way to know another believer is, first, you got to know the Holy Spirit. He bears witness with us. That we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that I'm a kid of the King. That if I understand that I am a kid of the kingdom, then I am an heir. And what is an heir? An heir is a person who has not come to a place of maturity to handle something that will ultimately be turned over to him or to her when they reach that point in their lives that they can handle these things. And next time we get together, we're going to talk about those things as heirs of the kingdom. And really what Jesus has provided for us as kingdom kids to grow up and become men and women of God. But we're heirs. But how many of us have prayed a prayer of faith and never had that witness of the Spirit? And we're constantly vacillating back and forth. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved or not saved? Understand, it's by faith. That witness comes by faith. If you're seeking the Holy Spirit to bear witness with you, He will bear witness with you that you are His kid. And because you are His kid, like Jesus said, you must be childlike, not childish. We can grow from that point. We can stop asking the question, am I saved or not saved? Am I a Christian or not Christian? Because all that now is consuming us is, what has God purchased me for? What is it that God has planted in me that the kingdom of His holiness and His righteousness can be revealed from me to a world that is in desperate need of what God offers? And then we should be busy about finding out what it is that God has us to do, and then do it. It's not waiting for me to tell you what God has said, although that's part of my job. But it's really allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal who you are in Him and what the kingdom is with you. You have to accept that you are a unique individual, wholly loved by God, who has a plan that is so tremendous for your life that you can't even conceptualize that. You know, when we conceptualize anything, it is because we are petty and selfish. That it's everybody else's fault. That all I want to do is give up and leave. Anybody feel that way lately? I have. Many times I look at my own life and it's like, what is worth all this baloney? That all I do is get an opportunity to see the death and destruction of my childish behavior. And then I have to repent after I humble myself and say, you bonehead. And then I have to go clean the mess up with God's help. It doesn't matter if you're 16 or 60. What matters is that we grow from this. And we have to understand that you have to have this witness of the Spirit. You are a spiritual person. You have been born again of God's Spirit, and contained within you is the full potential of all heaven. All eternity is now contained within you. And the reason why we don't do what God says is because we would rather be afraid of God's plan and use that as an excuse not to, but also because we're afraid of the rejection of becoming friends with the world and becoming like the world and listening to the world dictate how we should be, how we should act, what we should buy, and where we should live, when it is God's responsibility to tell us that. You see, we don't want to look inside ourselves and see who God has made us. After all, my friends aren't going to like me. You got the greatest friend in the world who died on a cross for you. He poured out his blood and wants to bestow upon a bunch of ingrates, you and me, a kingdom that is so unfathomable and rich that we can't even dream of the vastness of it. And yet we would settle for the pulpitry of this world and throw away our relationship with God. And when we're asked by the Holy Spirit to walk across the room and talk to somebody, we all of a sudden clam up and we make feet in the opposite direction. That is immature. Being an heir is understanding that God is king. And if God is your father, then it is your responsibility and mine to learn how princes and princesses conduct themselves. There is a regalness about royalty, of which you are and I are part of that family. But we don't spend the time to find out how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. And you see, God is applying the pressure to our lives because there are areas in our lives that He's not real happy about. He's applying pressure in our lives to make us look at ourselves, not everybody else. You see, when you called on the name of Jesus Christ, whether you understood or not, you gave Him permission to rule and reign your life. He is king. He is the first and final authority in everything. And we have to come to understand that as being His children, He is not going to settle for anything less than the most and best for His children. And He will do what He has to do in order to discipline us, to bring us into that place of conducting ourselves like Christ. Now, does that mean that we won't mess up? No, I mess up. But that's the beauty of understanding God's gift of repentance. You can mess up all you want, as long as you take responsibility for it, as long as it's a heartfelt understanding that you messed up, and you turn away from it, not to continue in it. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. My family just aggravates the daylights out of me. What's the common denominator? You. You're the common denominator. Who's supposed to be the mature one? You. Whether you're born again for a day or 10 years. God doesn't leave us with excuse. He's trying to get us to see that those excuses inhibit our growth. That we're to love unconditionally. We are to extend grace and mercy. We are to speak words and have actions that are gentle. And sometimes when people deserve punishment, maybe sometimes mercy needs to be extended. You see, we are the dispensers of the kingdom. And when we're throwing out good seed by dispensing love, grace, mercy, peace, joy, happiness, gentleness, kind of sounds like Galatians 5:25 a little bit, the fruit. You see, you're throwing out Jesus Christ. You're lifting Him up. And the Bible says if He be lifted up, He will draw. The problem is the church in America wants to draw the entertainers. They want to draw people to themselves. They don't want to draw them to Jesus. They just want to use Jesus to get their due. Materialism has penetrated the hearts of the believers. Prosperity and wealth has penetrated the hearts of God's people in such a way that they're not kingdom-minded. They're earthly-minded. And when you're earthly-minded, you're no good to God. You're not in His quiver because He can't use you. You're less than a babe in God. God uses these things to draw our attention to Him, to draw us closer to Him, so that He can then permeate our lives and take the junk out of our lives. So that the next time, and there will be a next time, that we go into this situation, we will be wiser and astute to apply the principles of the kingdom to that situation. And you know, I could use all kinds of excuses. I could say, man, I am under tremendous pressure. I can do this. I have all these problems going on and all. But so do you. So do you. And let's get down to the bare facts. They're just excuses that are inhibiting the Spirit of God from changing us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put childish things away. It doesn't say I put being a child away. It says I put childish things away. You see, the church has to understand that there are things that we need to survive. And then there's things that God requires of us to grow. And a lot of times, we hold on to the things that we think is important when God says, raise your hands and let them go, and I'll fill you with everything that you could ever ask or imagine. Again, the reason why we hold on to it is what? Unbelief. We don't trust God, and that's sin. And when we are holding on to our stuff and we're in sin, our relationship to Him is severed. God doesn't want the relationship severed. He wants us to let go and open to Him so that He can fill us with every good thing. How is the church of Jesus Christ ever going to grow to the place where she's this bride without spot or wrinkle when we're holding on to our dumb stuff? Whether it's attitudes, whether it's behavior, whether it's possessions, whatever it is that inhibits us, we need to get rid of it. Not because I say so, but because the Holy Spirit's been telling you and telling me to get rid of it. People are tired of the entertaining business in the church. People are tired of the watered-down gospel. People are looking for a reality of which the Joshua generation that God is raising up is going to make a difference in the land. I believe that with my whole heart. And I believe God's preparing me to be part of that. And He should be preparing you for it too. The world wants to throw your identity and individualism away and bring you into a conformity to what it wants you to be, not what God has designed you to be. Well, I don't like what God has said to me. I didn't like what God said to me either. But that doesn't negate the fact of what He's called me to be. And looking back 20 years, walking with the Lord, I see His magnificence in what He has chosen for my life. And what He has chosen for me, I have accepted. I have received His call and now run with Him. Because His steps are really long. And if you ever notice with kids, when you're dragging them along, they're like, you know, they're hopping. God's full stride, you know. And what do? We kick and fight and do everything to try to impede God from moving. But He's moving, church. And He'll move right out of your life if you continue. In order for us to proceed, we must once and for all take up the life of Jesus Christ. That means that we need to settle once and for all that we're not going to be popular. We're not. We've got to settle once and for all that our friends who are not Christians aren't our friends. They're not even family. And those who are in our family who lay the name of Jesus Christ, if they are disobedient to what God has been saying to them, we need to love them and encourage them and help them in that area, just like how we would want to be loved and cared for. But there's a lot in the church today, and it's really something. I was reading an article last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was talking about that 38% of the believers in the American church today believe that their spiritual truths are found in the Book of Mormon, the Bible, and the Quran. That they're all one and the same thing. That 68% of the believers accept some sort of spiritual adjunct to their faith than actually walking with Jesus Christ. And that's in America. They're embracing a spirituality that is a smorgasbord of lies. Take a little bit of Mormon, take a little bit of Christianity. Oh, let's have a dab at Eastern mysticism. Oh, over here, you know, Rosicrucian, you know. And let's add it all together and see what we come up. Oh, that's a Christian. It's not. Church, we are children of the light. We are children of God. There is so much light in us that needs to be broken, and the only way that it can break out is with ourselves humbling ourselves before God. Understanding these situations that God is putting us into. First is we put ourselves there. And second of all, we need to take responsibility that we put ourselves there. And third of all, we need to ask God to help us get out of it. I humbled myself. When Irene came back from buying lunch, I mean, she was madder than a hornet. And she had every right to be. But she noticed that there was a difference. See, I needed time with God. I needed to seek His face. I needed to be adjusted with His spiritual 2x4 on my spiritual behind. And He woke me up. He made me realize that, you know what? This is not acceptable. And I know better. I know better. I know that God loves me. He died for me. He showed me how much He loves me. But to be a kingdom kid is to live in obedience to the Holy Spirit. To be a kingdom kid is to delve into the Word. To be a kingdom kid is to feed upon the milk of the Word and to understand the deeper principles of it. To be a kingdom kid is not to sit there and pretend that everything's okay when you're dying inside. To be a kingdom kid is the highest honor that we could ever ask, and yet it is lowly esteemed by the world. If you ever notice how much they make fun of pastors and Christians and all through the medias, and the assault has just started on us. You are weapons in God's quiver. You are designed in such a way to penetrate the turbulence and hit the mark, hit the human heart, in such a way that the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, just pours out of you. You are designed that when the time comes and God says, I need Ed to go and do this, Ed's right up there on the shaft and he's fired out and he's screaming all the way, here I come, world! You're not ready for this, but God is. And he sets the world ablaze. What are you going to do? You're a kingdom kid. You have no option. The option to sit there and bellyache and complain is not an option because that's sin. The option to sit there and blame everybody else for your misgivings, that's sin. To not believe the Word of God and to get your life rounded by the Word of God, that is sin. To sit there and think that we're not in sin is to allow sin to blind us. That is sin. The only option we have is to humble ourselves, repent, and get on with God because He has something wonderful for us. And it all starts with allowing the kingdom to come out of us. You are His kids. I am His kid. He loves us tremendously. As we depart for creation, I want you to remember this. Stop acting as if you didn't care about God or His kingdom. Because you know in your heart you do care. Stop acting, stop pretending. It's a lie. Learn all you can and ask the Holy Spirit who has been given to us to teach us, to educate us, and to bring us into fruition to become that prince and princess of the Most High God, to change all our immature behaviors and become responsible for the kingdom. Don't be afraid of God. God is approachable. He loves us. And don't be afraid to ask God, if you haven't, what has He designed you to be and what is your life supposed to look like? The greatest tragedy that any person can have who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is never to reach the full potential and design that God has on our lives. Church, the hour has come that we must arise and begin to take the land. God has consecrated us. God has called us. But He is not sending suicide kids into a world that hates us and we're afraid to act with the righteousness of God as kings and priests. He wants us to grow up. It's a reality that I'm not apologetic for. Nor is God, because He is worthy above all. It's about time we get about His business, because He's definitely about ours. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, He's in control. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your Word, God. I pray that as we go to creation, God, and those who are going, Father, that You would use that as a springboard that this week, God, that through the lessons that we be taught, the testimonies that are shared, that everything would be to exalt Your name and Your kingdom, God. That God, You are from above and we are from below. But You came, God, and became like us to raise us up. And I thank you, God, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I thank you, God, that you have opened up our eyes to the reality that we are your children, that you have given us your Holy Spirit to teach us, to train us, and most importantly, to be there with us through everything, God. Father, it hurts me to even share how childish I've acted and how ashamed of myself I am, God, before you. But if it can encourage your people, God, if it can bring them to a realization that I'm still going on with you, God, no matter how childish I acted, God, I've repented and I want more of you. I want more of your kingdom. I want people to see you out of me. I pray that your church would have that desire above all, God, that there is no expense that I'm not willing to pay, God, to bring you glory in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of this church, God. If it means that I have to humble myself in order to do it, Lord, then I am more than willing. For you did more than I could ever ask or imagine. You've done more and provided more than I could ever think about. And you have given me more than I ever deserve. I pray, God, that you take this message and you plant it into their hearts and bring the change that you desire in God's people. I pray in His name. Amen. Amen.